Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Let's start off this week's podcast by looking at the recent economic data, which continues to point to a weakening economy, but one that is not yet precipitously falling into recession. U.S. jobless claims came in at 222,000 last week. That was above the estimate of 220,000, but down from the 231,000 originally reported 2 weeks ago. Remember I said last week we're going to keep a close eye on this. Continuing claims increased from the estimate of 1.78 million to 1.794 million. For me, this is a report that neither confirms or belies last week's jump in claims. We have a slight deterioration in the labor market data, but there is still no imminent warning sign of recession from the Bureau of Labor Statistics yet. In fact, historically speaking, in the initial jobless claims numbers, they remain extremely benign. The data that is produced from the Department of Labor, of which the Bureau of Labor Statistics belongs, is the last holdout of data that portrays an economy that is humming along just fine, even though it is not. The true state of the economy can be found in private sector data. The Philadelphia Fed was released late last week. This diffusion index for current general activity declined 11 points to 4.5 in May from April. The index for new orders declined from 12.2 to negative 7.9, its first negative reading since February, and the shipments index fell from 19.1 to negative 1.2, its first negative reading since January. We also had U.S. industrial production data released this week. It was completely flat in April from the previous month, while factory output fell by 0.3%. The Conference Board leading economic index for the U.S. decreased by 0.6% in April 2024 to 101.8 after decreasing by 0.3% in March. So the index is decreasing at a faster rate. And this is what the board had to say about its latest reading. Quote, "Another decline in the U.S. leading economic index confirms that softer economic conditions lay ahead. Deterioration in consumers' outlook on business conditions, weaker new orders, a negative yield spread, a drop in new building permits fueled April's decline. In addition, stock prices contributed negatively for the first time since October of last year. While the LEI's six-month and annual growth rates no longer signal a forthcoming recession, they still point to a serious headwind ahead for growth. Indeed, elevated inflation, high interest rates, rising household debt, and depleted pandemic savings are all expected to continue weighing on the U.S. economy this year. As a result, we project that real GDP growth will slow to under 1% over Q2 and Q3 2024 periods. Market-based data is also shouting a warning. The yield curve has inverted since July of 2022. It's been inverted since then. The 10-year note yield minus the 2-year note yield spread, that's known as the spread, is now experiencing its longest inversion in history. This indicator has been a near-perfect recession predictor since 1955. The one exception occurred back in 1965. There was no technical recession then, just like the LEI Conference Board is predicting no technical recession. But GDP growth absolutely plummeted from 10% growth to 0.2%, and the market fell by 20% during that inverted yield curve time. So yes, that period really doesn't count as an exception. Look for plummeting GDP growth and a brutal bear market. That's the outcome predicted by this inverted yield curve. Now, if you want to ignore the LEI, net percentage of banks that are tightening lending standards, the decrease in the Fed's balance sheet, shrinking M2 money supply, negative ISM surveys, and the inverted yield curve, you may do so at your peril. I'm not going to ignore it. They all point to a weakening economy in the near future. However, this is a big exception. We need to see credit spreads widen and financial conditions to tighten before we believe a recession and bear market are imminent. And that's just not happening yet. It's not happening at this time. Nevertheless, the clock is ticking towards recession and another crisis in credit, and we will prepare for that ahead of time, but not so far ahead of time that we miss out on the gains in the stock market. And the reason why I think all these indicators, market indicators and private indicators are pointing to recession is because inflation has already, past tense, eviscerated the middle class. 78% of consumers are living paycheck to paycheck, which means they spend all of their income on the necessities of living and have nothing left over to save. 80% of consumers have less than $5,000 in savings. 50% have $500 or less in the bank. And 36% have more credit card debt than they have savings. The average consumer owes $6,218 on their credit cards. That's up 8.5% year over year, according to TransUnion. If you need more proof that the consumer is hanging on by a thread, Target posted earnings today. This major retailer said year-over-year sales declined by 3%, and that's tough to do with inflation rising the way it is, 3.5% officially. The retailer also missed Wall Street's earnings estimates, as the company highlighted a consumer that is fatigued from high prices and therefore purchased both fewer discretionary items and groceries. Target shares fell by 10% as of this recording today. The salient issue here, again, is that there has been an unprecedented surge of inflation that's occurred over the past 4 years. Therefore, prices need to fall on an absolute basis, not just go up more slowly than they used to go up, to heal the consumer and the economy. You cannot have a healthy economy without a healthy middle class. This is because it is the middle class that actually does most of the work and produces the vast majority of the goods and services in the economy. The poorest among us collect from the government, and the wealthiest among us live on passive income from dividends and interest. It's the middle class that works and pays taxes. Now let's talk about gold versus stocks. While the 30 stocks within the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit an all-time high of 40,000 this week, that was before today's wipeout, the broader average of the Russell 2000 is down 15% from its high that was hit late 2021. The market remains bifurcated just as the trenchant wealth gap of consumers continues to widen. A middle class that has been hollowed out by inflation leads to an unhealthy market, which is best illustrated by looking at the returns of gold versus the S&P 500. So in January of 2000, the S&P 500 was 1,425. By May of 2024, it was 5,303. That's a gain of 268%. Gold started out in January of 2000 at $290 an ounce. It then climbed to $2,400 an ounce, a gain of 468%. Now, as Jay Taylor puts it, during the years since 2000, the S&P 500 has had 8 losing years with an average loss of 13.46%. Gold lost value against the dollar in just 7 years, but the average loss was just 7.3%. Winning years for the S&P 500 averaged 6.78% and 16.45% for gold. So, in measuring risk in terms of volatility, the S&P as a whole was a much more risky endeavor than just owning gold. How often does the mainstream financial media talk about the outperformance of gold with lower volatility? Not so much. See, each week you get the truth on the midweek reality check. And that is far better than listening to what is, for the most part, Wall Street's longest running infomercial called CNBS. It's really just an infomercial for Wall Street because that's their advertising base. Buy and hold the 60/40 portfolio is dodo bird investing. How to identify and invest in both bull and bear markets is what Pento Portfolio Strategies is all about.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.